actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with should never be taken away. But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle, but it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Hummer Foods Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your geese on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Welcome, everybody, to Thursday night. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And I have no fucking clue what time it is in the Netherlands, Jeffy. But with the time I do know it is, it's Plum Love Food Time with your boys, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Chef Dan. We're coming at you live here on a Thursday from Spreaker Radio. Getting ready to get a little crazy, a little wild, do a lot of yelling, drink a few cocktails, and run our mouths, because friends, that's what we do. We have microphones, aka that means we are experts, Jeffy.
On all things.
Everything.
Experts on everything. Ask me a question. I have an answer.
I would like to ask you, my first question for you, Jeffy, is why does Taco Bell have 19 different flavors of hot sauces, but they all taste the same?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
They all taste the same because they're made in the same bowl.
Fucking makes total sense to me. I appreciate that answer. Thank you, Jeffy. Fucking shout out to Jeffy. Yeah. Huh? How about that?
All right. There you go. Hot sauce expert, Taco Bell. I'll be back.
Dan, you know, while we're at it and we're shouting Jeffy out, tonight on the grand station of public broadcasting, PBS, Jeffy made his long-awaited television debut tonight.
Woo-hoo! Jeffy.
He came in, took my fat ass out of a barbecue restaurant on a hand truck, and then led me to another restaurant to go eat more food.
It was amazing. It was a lot of fun.
It did a great job.
I overacted, which is amazing.
My favorite part is when you get me up on the food truck. I'm on the food truck, on the hand truck, and I start to, you know, when you first kind of you get something on a hand truck, then you pull it backwards and it kind of falls down a little bit. So it's when you kind of get the weight. Jeffy made a sound I've only heard large animals make when I fell back into the hand truck and he finally had all of my weight. He went,
well, I had to bear down.
I bet you did.
There was a bit of a sweat. There was a little, like, eyes got real big for a minute.
He whispered in my ear, I think a little bit of pee came out.
Just a tiny bit.
But yeah, man, restaurant road trip, the television special episode 2 aired tonight. And then, of course, the regular episode aired today as well, featuring our good brother, Matt Storch. Shout out to Matt Storch. He sent me a really nice text on the show.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck good.
Butter news, drawer, man, for life.
Holy shit. I want a butter drawer for everything. I want to keep myself in a butter drawer.
Dude, I won't get rid of my CVAP. Now that I saw the butter drawer, I'm just trying to write a menu that I can use it. I can just make a butter drawer.
You got to watch the episode, ctpublic.org/roadtrip. You got to see what I'm talking about here. He has a drawer. I mean, this place serves lobster rolls and burgers, and they do such a volume. He has all of the lobster portioned out in little tin cups with holes in the bottom of it, and they rest ever so gently in a wonderful, wonderful hotel pan full of melted butter until they're ready to be served.
Because a CVAP holds it at a perfect temperature. It's like a large, kind of like a steam convection thing.
Doesn't overcook it. Not at all.
Perfect. Perfect.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
That's so
Storch is a goddamn genius.
He's a fucking genius. No doubt about
it. I'll say it. He's a goddamn genius.
You should say it. Take a stand, Jeffy. Get on the Apple crate. Tell the world.
I love Matt Storch.
He holds the burgers, too, when it's really busy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They cook the burgers to rare and then pop them in there, and they just finish in there.
Jesus.
And then the butter just like, oh, ridiculous.
That food was so good. He's a G, and the food was amazing. We also got to see on the TV show our good friend Judy Roll from Judy's Bar and Grill in Stamford. I'll tell you what, that place was great, too. We had a lot of fun with her.
Judy?
Yeah.
Judy's the best. Judy is one of the most energetic spitball fireball ladies, and her food is hands down amazing. I wish we could go to Tabbouleh Grill soon, because that place that she also has is out of control.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely want to go do that. So if you haven't seen it yet, check out ctpublic.org/roadtrip. Check out the episodes. We're really proud of them. We can't wait to see what's happening next. I got a weird email today, too, about that show, boys, and I'll share it with you. We won't go deep into it here, but there's an Italian... We're trying to figure this out. An Italian company that asked about international broadcasting licensing rights for the show. That email happened today. I don't know if it's legit, but I did look them up on IMDb for my quick, doing my research, and they were real. So we'll see. We'll see. Whatever.
Ciao, Bella.
Jeffy and I had a fantastic conversation with the one and only Rocco Despirito the other day. We can't wait for that. I think it's going to air July 4th week. I think it's going to be that episode, Jeffy. That's a good one.
Hell yeah. Dude, Rocco is the man.
Good conversation.
Super excited.
Yeah, he was fucking great, man. He was really fantastic. Tonight, though, speaking of great guests, we got a great guest coming up here in just a few minutes. The Real Brimstone. This guy, we're going to talk about it when we get him on the show, but this guy is fucking awesome. Dan, you fell in love with him.
Yo, he's such a cool guy, man. He's like, he was super chill, knew his food. We were hanging out, having a good time. And then coming to find out, like, this dude's a superstar. Like, I'm like, yo, this guy's the man. He's in the comic books. He's in everything. Like, he loves food. Yo, he's done it all. Man, this guy's amazing.
If you got food and comic books, that's the way to Dan's heart. That's all it takes.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
He's food already.
And movies.
He's a deep motherfucker, this guy. Dan, that is. So, we'll be joined by Brim here in just a few minutes. What a really great human being. Can't wait to talk to him. And just wait, he is a ball of fucking energy. It's going to be pretty fun. It's going to be pretty fun. I love talking to him. We had him on the show last week from a recorded piece from the Wing Festival. You got to hear a little bit. But experiencing him live is going to be a thing that we're all going to enjoy, Jeff. And I can't wait. I wish you got a chance to meet him in person, Jeff, but you will down the road for sure. He's great.
He saw me half naked the other night on the Instagram Live, so that was
true. That's true.
You know, we're closer. We're closer than you guys are. I mean, so that's just
you keep
that.
You take your clothes off a lot on social media.
Because I don't give a fuck, man. I'm out here showing this body. I'm out here slapping belly.
What?
I'm gonna exactly. Me and Dame Drops are gonna like do. I want to do a sumo belly slap with that guy next time
it's
I see him.
It's your boy Dame Drops, super official.
Super,
dude, he is too. I just can't drink so many sours.
Well, last time I had to pull you over. We're going to hang out with him again soon and get him back on the show. Dame Drops is the man. Excited to talk to him, no doubt about it. Listen, I think we should take a quick little breather. I can feel Brim in the corner pouring water bottles on his head, getting ready to come out here and throw his arms up in the air and break glass all over people's heads or something. Or maybe he'll come out and tell some dad jokes. You never know which Brim you're going to get, but I'm excited to find out. I'm super excited to find out. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeffy, Chef Dan. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Wait, Mob. Hi, I'm Jocko Golden, award-winning chef, celebrity janitor, and creator of the Wait Mob.
Wait, Mob.
What is a Wait Mob? Well, a weight mop is your standard mop.
Weight mop.
Reimagined and revolutionarily designed by yours truly to keep your house clean and your body mean.
Weight mop.
With our patented sliding three-plate system, coming in three sizes, 4, 8, and 147, they're stackable and interchangeable, so you can get that workout in regardless of your fitness level.
Weight mop.
It's simple to use. Just lock in the plate and mop yourself back to sexy.
Chef Hans here. So tired of curling out of your dish pit? By Weight Mop. And voila! Now you have strong girly man.
Weight Mop!
Hey, how you doing? Jimmy Capello here. My wife was complaining she never got time for the gym. I saw the Weight Mop, I thought two birds with one stone, right? Hey, and now she looks out of this world.
Wait, Mom.
Yeah, my husband got this really heavy mop. What's a celebrity janitor?
Wait, Mom. Wait, Mom.
Cause you got a weak shoulder.
Wait, Mom.
Cause you need to feel bolder.
Wait, Mom.
Jocko's creation.
Wait, Mom.
Mop across the nation.
Wait, Mom.
We're against segregation.
Wait, Mop.
Call now. 1-800-WAIT-MOP. That's 1-800-WAITMOP.
A sizzle plate product.
Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives. The knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinsui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com. Jeffrey, you're way past your cue.
Hey, Plum!
What the fuck, dude?
It was muted. I'm sorry.
Jesus. All right, read the script.
Hey, Plum, you know where good food starts?
Ah, Jeffy, great food? Let me think about it. The ocean? Farms? No, that's not what you're talking about, is it?
No, it's not what I'm talking about.
Really? What could you possibly be talking about? Could it be the pantry? The Pantry, the number one gourmet specialty food shop in Fairfield, Connecticut. At The Pantry, their main goal is to provide customers with the superior food choices along with the legendary customer service you expect from an upscale market, Jeffy. The Pantry in Fairfield, brother, they got it all.
That's right, Chef. Award-winning pastries, spectacular prepared food choices, amazing deli, salad bar, and top quality meats, seafood, produce, and more.
Wow, you know what sets The Pantry apart from the competition, Jeffy? I'm going to tell you. Great customer service, great food, and they're great employees. Don't forget to check out their take-home meals section. Listen, one of my favorites has to be the Duroc pork chops. They're next level. They're awesome. You got to get some of those.
The Pantry, 1580 Post Road in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Good food starts here. Yeah.
Woo! Greatest read of all time.
I love Foods Live. Back at you right now. Holy cow. Happy Pride Month, everybody.
We're excited. Happy Pride Month.
So excited to be here. Hey, listen, we got a great guest join the show here in 1 second, boys. Let me tell you something right now. It's not very often that I feel like we get. Listen, I've done a lot of things, and I always be like, I've done so much shit. I feel like I've got so many different hobbies, so many things. Pro wrestling, to TV, to food, to. I mean, being a Laser Quest champion, I've dipped my toes in a lot of things. It's true. Oh, it's damn
amazing.
True. Well, our guest this time may have me beat on all the things that he's dipped his toes into. Not only was he a professional wrestler, he is an amazing voiceover actor. He's actually done voices for, we got to talk to him about this, friends, an Oculus game, being the Oculus fans that we are. We got to get him in here to talk about that. He's also judged so many food competitions. He's gone out there as a pro wrestler and beat the living shit out of people. This guy's made a career and every single thing you can make a fucking career on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program the one, the only, the real Brimstone! Yeah!
There he is. Brimstone has made it. Woo! To the brothers. We can hang it out with the brothers, the good brothers here on Plum Love Foods. Dudes!
There he
I'm
is.
I'm super stoked, super excited, man. Listen, I've been sitting and waiting here for about 15 minutes, hearing about, mop weight mop.
Oh, the weight mop.
I don't know. Is that a real deal or what?
Well, that's allegedly, insane. They pay
absolutely.
The advertise.
It's made in Korea. It's beautiful. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Apparently,
And I just want to let you know, I also use Ergo knives. What do you call it? So Ergo Chef.
That's
my fantastic.
Voice.
unbelievable. I have a great selection from them, and they're fantastic. So definitely, if anybody is out there who's looking to get an amazing set of knives, definitely check out Ergo Chef because they're fantastic.
Oh yeah, good boys. Absolutely. Right there, Ergo Chef, Mike and Scott, changing the way knives are done. Good people. Brim, dude, I'm so excited to have you on here. I gotta be honest, I was checking out your bio a little bit earlier, and I got to chapter 17. I was like, fuck. All right. Listen, you've done so much stuff, and I'm just going to jump right into it. Dude, you're in an Oculus game?
Yeah. What do you call it? That one was a little weird. It was a little crazy. I was set to do this thing for probably about a year. It's a game called Finger Gun. And what do you call it? They had asked me to do Wyatt Earp when the game was set in all of the West. It's changed over time, but what do you call it? They had me come in and start doing some voices for it, and then they put it on pause. And then I wound up getting COVID, and they're like, "Hey, we need the voice." I was like, "Oh, great! So now you need it when I can't speak." So they they waited until I was feeling better, and I went into the studio and I knocked it out, and I did the whole Wyatt Earp thing for them. And it's so, what do you call it? I'm they changed the way the whole game runs now, but I'm doing the demo section, so I'm the guy who gives you the demo information. I was supposed to be throughout the entire game, but they change things all the time. But it was absolutely fantastic thing to do, and really fun throwing my Oculus on and getting to play and hear myself tell me I'm a fool, I'm an idiot, and all that jazz.
Dude, you gotta do you play Population One?
No. Oh, I have not. I heard it's a great game.
You gotta get in with us. That's all we play. Ever since we played that, that's all we play now. And the Oculus was great, man, because over the pandemic, it really, like, all of us good brothers, that's kind of how we get to hang out. It was great.
Oh yeah, because it's like you're with people in real life. Craziest thing is, have you played the Walking Dead game on that yet?
No, I never played Walking Dead. We've talked about it. We like to play games you can play with each other. Like Arizona Sunshine is a Walking Dead-esque type game. It's fucking awesome the first time you do it. It gets boring after that.
It's freaky, bro. It's freaky. It's very freaky. And I don't scare very easily. And I was playing the game, and I am so immersed because the game just immerses you. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I guess one or two zombies jumped out at me, and I took a step back, but unbeknownst to me, because obviously I have everything on, over my face and my ears, I tripped over my couch and went flying, and my wife screams to me. And meanwhile, did I mention that I was on a live feed? I was doing it live.
Of course you
were. So my wife was like, "Are you okay?" from the other room, and everybody could hear it over the. I'm like, "Yeah, well, now everybody knows what happened." So it was pretty interesting. But no, it's the Oculus is fantastic. I absolutely love it, and fun. It's just time to play it. That's the only thing that it comes down to, having time.
Yeah, so, I tend to forego sleep to play the Oculus. Is what I do. We're gonna play tonight, so it's just what we do. Brother. So much fun hanging out with you the other weekend at the Wing Fest and eating wings and talking food with you. Just such an electric person. And just, you have this, this charisma about you. I just want to keep hanging out with you and keep talking to you. And but when it comes to talking food, you're pretty good at it, buddy. And I know you're not like a chef or have a food background, so to speak, but you've done a lot of festivals. You like to eat a lot of stuff. Talk to me about eating wings and judging that festival and that sort of stuff. And how'd you get involved in it?
Well, I first and foremost, I've had a love affair with food for my entire life. And, my mom used to cook, quite often. And, it was a single mom, Jewish home. So lots of food, lots of candy.
Shout out, Mama Brimstone.
So it was a great start. And, when I'd been after wrestling and during the time when I started promoting the comic books and doing stuff with that and started doing the comic cons again, I said to my one of my people at the time, Eitan Wish, who's still a good friend. He was my director of operations. I said, "Listen, if I'm going to get out on the road again, I have to see more than just, trains, planes, automobiles. I got to see more than just hotel rooms and arenas. I want to actually go and see the places that I'm visiting." And because, you can see the world without seeing the world. And, I said, "I can't do that again." And he's like, "Hey, well, what do you want to do?" I go, "Well, you know, I like to eat. He goes, yeah, Brim, we know. I said, screw you, Eitan. And then I said, what do you call it? I said, and I like, you know, I can speak. He goes, yeah, we know you like to talk too. I'm like, yeah, screw you again, Eitan. And I said, well, why don't we do like a, you know, some kind of a food series? So Food Hound Tidbits was born. And what we did was we went to the, you know, we took the viewers from the tabletops, you know, at the conventions, the convention circuit to, you know, five-star restaurants and mom-and-pop hot dog shops. And we took it from the opposite side of the table. You know what I mean? Yeah, we'd go into the kitchens and do all that stuff. But then we would talk about the food and so forth. And it was always like where to go, where are the hot spots in the different areas all around the country. And the cool thing was, you know, I'd always bring one of the other celebs with me, you know, if somebody was available. Hey, come along, get some eats, and we'll have a good time. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. We did about three seasons of that. And that was when YouTube was hard, you know, people weren't on YouTube at that point, yeah, you know, yeah, doing this thing. And we did it, and it became very popular. We were on FoodTube and a whole bunch of other things. And so much so
Jamie
that,
Oliver's,
you know,
FoodTube?
I don't know. It was FoodTube. So I don't know if he bought it or owns it now. It's quite possible. But it was FoodTube or FoodTube TV or something like that. But yeah, it was on there for quite some time. And it might still be on there for all I know. And that being said, you know, I was approached by an old friend of mine, Stan Lee. I'm sure you guys know who Stan Lee is. You guys are comic book fans.
Wait a minute. You just dropped a name right there. Let me pick it up for you. You said Stan Lee?
Yeah, we can I got to drop him here and there. So Stan said, you know, he was putting together his new a new YouTube channel at the time. And what do you call it? My contacts, you know, over at the Stan Lee headquarters, more or less, basically his right hand and left hand were, you know, saying, hey, Brim, you know, Stan loves the Food Hound thing and we love it. And we wanted to see if you want to be on the you know, the new YouTube channel. And at the time, I was like, sure, why not? And it wound up taking my people a little bit longer than what was needed. So that dropped the ball on that. That got me into an argument with the people that I was dealing with. And I just said, all right, we're canning it for now. And that was the end of Food Hounds after three seasons. However, from that, it spawned a whole line of sauces and seasonings, all award-winning. And, you know, I have my own coffee line. I have, you know, candy line and chocolate bars and all this stuff. And some of them are still on market. Some of them are off the market. But, you know, I've you know, thrown my hand into a lot of this stuff. But since I've been doing that, and I've done it all around the country, I wound up doing obviously the next natural progression. So I'm always about the next natural progression. And the next natural progression of that was to, you know, obviously from doing a food show is to put out product. And after the product, you know, well, what else? You got to be involved in the community, right? So I wound up getting involved in judging a lot of events and hosting events. And, you know, that got me into doing a lot of the wing festivals all around the country. And then the Brisket King stuff and the Rib King stuff. And, you know, you name it. And I've done it. And, you know, I've done the ultra hot pepper contests. Matter of fact, I did with Maxim magazine. Oh my God. So it seems so long ago now, probably about 9 years ago. It was a big feature, in the publication about, you know, the ultra hot pepper and pepper X and so forth. And, you know, so I wound up doing that, with Pucker Butt. I don't know if I'm sure, you know, who
I've seen that. I can picture it in my head right now.
Yeah. so Ed over.
I mean, the sauce, Jeffy. I know what you were thinking, Jeff. I'm the sauce.
I knew exactly what you were thinking.
Think of the sauce, Jeffy.
So he had, like, it was myself, my buddy Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses at the time. And,
hang on a second. You dropped another one. This is Guns N' Roses.
Sorry.
Let me pick it up for you.
Well, do you want me to tell the story or do you not want?
I do. I love it. I love it. But I just want to keep putting, I had to add attention to it when I get.
The three of us were in a room and we saw we were the first people to see Pepper X before it was even a thing. So it was a really cool thing. And that was what the story was about. And then they had me doing the ultra hot, you know, pepper eating contest and judging that. So it was a lot of really cool stuff, but that's what I, you know, that's what I've come to do. So I enjoy it. I love staying, you know, tight with the community. I have a lot of chef friends, a lot of celebrity chef friends and cooks, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, you know, listen, I'm a cook. I'm not a chef. You know, I wouldn't dare put myself in the same category as, you know, any of you fine gentlemen. But I do know good food. You know, I didn't get this big eating nothing. So,
well, I mean, just hearing you talk about wings, you definitely know what you're talking about. So I can vouch for that for sure. But yeah, it's fun, man. Chefs are great friends, aren't they? Like, they're just fucking weirdos.
Oh, yeah, man. Matter of fact, my buddy Derek Prince was just on that new MasterChef.
Good friend of ours. Derek's a good friend of ours.
Derek, yeah, yeah. I yelled at him today because I was like, how could you not tell me that you were on yesterday? You know, I was like, you could tell me because it was on apparently on the Coming Attractions. Oh, I was like, let me know.
Yeah.
See? So, anyway.
Yeah, he's a good brother, man. I think a lot of him and Timo and that whole crew over there, man. Great people. They're good dudes, man. Hey, Dan, before we jump into the story here, why don't you get those plugs out for Brim while we're thinking about it?
Absolutely, yo. First and foremost, go to my man's website, therealbrimstone.com. He got everything laid out for you. Most elaborate website I've seen in a long time. He got everything laid out for you. You can check out The Real Brimstone on his IG. Entrance to Hell is his Twitter. And then the Grindhouse Radio, you can go anywhere to check that out. It's iHeartRadio, but wherever you listen to your podcast, go check them out, Grindhouse Radio.
Thank you. Brim, I got to tell you, man, I'm an old-school radio person. I'm an old Opie and Anthony fan, old-school Ron and Fez. You're a Long Island guy. You know those guys. You know.
Yep.
I believe these people created radio and changed the world and made it what it is, and they changed it for the worse after the whole St. Patrick's Cathedral event, too. I should hate the type of radio that you do with Grindhouse. I'm being honest. I should hate it. Fucking should hate it. But I can't stop listening to it. It's so fun.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Why would you hate it? Why? Why?
That's just, you know, it's come on. You know. You know.
It's morning show banter? Why?
Yeah. Do you remember when they used to do Jocktober on Opie and Anthony where they would pick some local yokel, like, you know, morning zoo type show? And they would just fucking trash it and destroy it. And then their whole, like, message boards would be taken down. All their social media would be taken down because all of the pests from Open Anthony would just attack them. And they
crazy.
It was incredible what they could do. But, you know, you guys are great, man. It's fun to listen to. It's easy to listen to. It's safe to listen to with people in the car. It's great.
Yeah. And you know, and the difference is I actually have a mouth and I can snap back.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that ability. What do you call it? You know, at the end of the day, it's a lot of fun. I purposely wanted to design it like morning drive, simply because that's what people are used to, and that's what people, you know, are
right,
accustomed to. So, you know, you ever hear the phrase, you know, don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just make it, you know, keep it similar, but make it just a little bit better and leave it a little bit better than when you came in. And that's what I'm trying to do with GHR. And if it's working, great. If it's not, you know, I'm trying. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's entertaining, I get to have a good time. Talk about your co-host really quick. And just FYI, for this show, we haven't figured out what the fuck a wheel is yet. We got that shit on like a peg and we just pull it for 359 episodes now or whatever.
What do you call it? You know, listen, we're a tight-knit crew. We just, you know, we lost one of our main co-hosts, one of our main partners, about a year and change ago. Just COVID got the better of them you know, just decided to go to, you know, a different route in life. And that's OK. You know what I mean? But what do you call it? You know, he was with us for 6 years and we're in our seventh year. You know, Kim is, you know, my right hand and Tom, Mr. Greer is my left. And, you know, at the end of the day, we work as a unit and, we're completely different personalities. So, you know, it works really well with each other. And I mean, and then we have our little, you know, niche, spots in between. So it's like mini segments in between our six regular segments. And then we have like Jen Wild. She does the music now. Before that, I had Guy Brogna from, you guys are old school metal guys. You remember Ludacris and Scatterbrain?
I remember Scatterbrain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yes. So Guy was the bass player for both those bands. And, he's still with us. He's just so overwhelmed and busy. He owns All Music Inc. Shout out to them. And he's had some issues where he's had to deal with some floods in the store. So needs to take a step back from Grindhouse. So, you know, Jen Wild jumped on board and Jen is on air on AM and FM in Florida and a bunch of other territories. So, you know, so that was a win for us, you know, with Jen. It was a nice pickup. Rob Medina took over the pop culture segment, which was
done, not the pop culture, the comic book segment, which was done by Kevin Dempsey for, you know, the whole time we've been around, for 6 years prior. And what do you call it? We got a new gaming segment that's run by Lee Kwai Lau. He's out of California. Fantastic, fantastic guy. And what do you call it? Just bright new talent to help, you know, light stuff up. And then I got Amy Palmero Winters, who is unbelievable. She'll kick all our asses. That's first and foremost. Yeah. She's actually, she's a quadriplegic.
I love her.
Yeah, she lost her leg in a what do you call it, a motorcycle accident, and she's now a Guinness Book World holder, Guinness Book record holder in multiple, you know, different events. She's does these like you know, what is it, like 3 day, 5 day what do they call triathlons and stuff, where, you know, she's running with one leg, and, you know, she's an amputee, so she's running, you know, all these races. Jesus. Straight through. You don't stop to go, and you're running, you're burning off anything you eat and you drink. You're not pissing, you're not taking crabs. Jesus. You're just going, yeah, through. It's insane. She's an animal, and I love her to death. She does leading ladies on the show. That's so cool, it's you know, it's a really cool crew. And you know, I just I like the diversity within it. I like the fact that we hit all angles, and, you know, it's not, you know, it's a little bit for everybody. You know what I mean? For those of people who listen in and don't like it, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, and, you know, thank you. Next. What am I going to say?
You know, it's funny. That's the world we live in now. Like, you could do so much stuff kind of on your own in DIY, which we really embrace in this program, and just our group with the Good Brothers, just DIYing it, man, and making shit happen. I mean, you know, you talk about the woman on your show, the amputee, like running races and doing all these things. We're trying to get Dan on Naked and Afraid. Because I think
he'd be
amazing on that program.
That would absolutely be insane.
Yeah, I mean, he would be fucking great on Naked and Afraid. And
dude,
yeah,
Jeff, just because I'd have to have like a double long blur.
Yeah,
because he has a massive warhammer.
It's a fucking mace.
It's insane. Incredible. He's he's like a dwarf, yeah, but he has like, well, and he offensive. Swings a warhammer. Well, no, it's just like,
you ever looks seen like a grown man naked?
Listen,
wow.
I need shoes. As long as they provide shoes, I need shoes.
You don't get shoes. You got nothing.
You don't get shoes. Well, actually, no. You do get to take one thing with you. So
you can bring a fucking knife. Item. You can make shoes.
Yeah, no,
maybe.
You might want to bring like an Ace bandage to wrap up that shit, so you don't get. I mean,
I was just gonna say, just bring a jockstrap.
Mosquito bites. Well, that'd be not good. Red fire ants all over your cock sounds terrible.
Well, look, if he's there with his wife, then he'll be ribbed for her pleasure. So, hey, you know, that could work out.
There you go.
You know, listen, always think on the bright side. Always think on the bright
that's
side.
That's what I like about
that. That's the survivalist secret, is fire ants. You know, really spice up the relationship. That's what
they
do. There
you go.
There's adrenaline going the whole time.
It's cold out here.
Speaking
let's get close together to warm up. No, Brim, let me ask you this, man, because you're such an easy guy to talk to, and if it's a weird question, you can tell me, man, but like, you know, taking something like Grindhouse Radio, right, mm-hmm, and then being able to turn that, you know, and you listen, you can monetize things, you can make money from things, but you've turned it into a job. Like, you make real money doing this. How do you go from taking, I'm going to do this show, and you've got all this accolades and things you've done in the past, but I'm going to now do this radio show weekly, and we're going to turn it into like a real job and make real money from it in a very short amount of time?
I mean, it's not a bad question. It's a normal question. The fact of the matter is, anything that I ever get into, anything that I do, I look at it as a business, and I look at it as an extension of my brand. And then the extension of my brand also needs to be branded. So anything that I'm doing, you know, it needs to, you know, either potentially or eventually become a revenue stream. So, you know, if since I was getting involved in the whole, you know, radio deal or broadcasting in general, when I first got into it, I, you know, I made sure to get the name. I did this, that, the next thing. Make sure to get all the URL and any URL that was anything near it that I could at the time. And, you know, I was ready for it. Once we knew that we had a product that was good, you know, and the reason why we knew it was good is because iHeart came to us to, you know, to sign on. It was before anybody could just go on to iHeart and get on it. So
how many years ago is that? Like 4 years ago or something, right?
Longer. We got on. This is our seventh year. So what do you call it? So it was our first year in that we wound up getting onto iHeart. So about 6 years ago. It was not easy. It wasn't easy, and we had to prove ourselves. We got on, and I didn't want to go after any kind of advertisers, even though people wanted to advertise and sponsor. I was like, I'm not ready for it yet. And the reason for that was because I wanted to make sure I was going to give them a product that was actually worth it. Because when I put my name on something, it needs to be worth it. So that being said, we went to iHeart. We went from 1 hour to 2 hours. And after another maybe 6 months, I said, okay, it's time. You know, the numbers were there. The audience was there. My friends were coming through. I had a great amount of guests on already. And I was like, let's do it. And, I started selling. And, when we started selling, it was time to incorporate. So we were a DBA prior, and then we incorporated and, built it into a full grown business. Now, again, not everybody that's on the board actually works full time there, at Grindhouse. But, we all work there and we do have employees.
Everyone's
and so
getting
forth.
Paid something. Yeah.
People get paid. So, but it's a lot. It's a lot of work and it's an undertaking. And, it's a big commitment. But, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. It's a lot of fun. I have, at this point now, after this, it's been years now already, but, I wound up, using the stuff that I learned in my music days for endorsements and so forth and went to town on endorsements. So we're endorsed by, Beyer Dynamic Microphones, Zoom North America and all their equipment, Ableton. So, we've got a lot of really cool things that, and in our studio and all top of the line product. And, now I could do all my voice work from there too. What I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So like it increased my opportunity for revenue, and I'm not sitting in a closet in my house trying to, do voice work. I'm in my comfort of my own studio, which is about literally 5 minutes from my house. We have our offices, the studio, our green room. You'll come down eventually. You'll see it, but it's great. We love it, And
shout
could
out to
be
you,
worse,
man. Seriously, shout out to fucking Brim. This guy has. Thanks. I mean, DIY. Fucking, that's it's inspiring, man. To hear that, it really, really, truly is. I mean,
I appreciate it.
It's awesome. I fucking love stories like this, Jeffy. You do too, I know, and Dan, I know you do,
dude. Absolutely, this is the shit. This is what I was just texting him while you were talking. Like, I love this guy. This is exactly what I've been talking about. This is the shit.
Thank you, I appreciate
it. Just a little background, Brim, just so you kind of see, because one of these days I'm going to call you and just bend your ear about a bunch of shit. But
sure,
I was working on a national on a show on the Lifetime Channel years ago called The Better Show. I was hosting a segment national TV. It was fucking great. They told me that I needed media training, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll get media training. Great. I had no idea. I'm just happy to be there, guy. Media training is 10 grand in New York City, and I don't know what the fuck that means. It's because I had crutch words.
I'll give it to you for free.
Well, at this point, I'm good now, but it's one of those things where, you're just so happy to be there, guy. You're like, oh, yeah, of course I would be happy to do that. Well, instead, I started doing this podcast, and I started at first interviewing my buddies, just interviewing my friends. And then we started moving on and getting, a couple other little chefs on, some chefs from around the country. And now, we've had Guy Fieri on. We've had Manit Chauhan. We've had NFL players. We've got you. We have lots of fucking really cool people on this program now. And it's really kind of grown. And, we're fucking number 9 in Italy or some shit, Jeffy. I don't remember what it was, but.
Hey, ciao.
We're top 200 in Apple every week in the food category. I mean, we've got some shit here. We just, it's a matter of taking to the next level. And hearing your story is really inspiring to know that can happen.
Absolutely. Listen, it's you just have to put the work in. Nothing's going to come to you if you don't put the work in.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. A lot of people, especially the kids nowadays, they think that it's, first of all, they want immediate gratification.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works. Nobody is an overnight success. You don't see the last 10, 15, 20 years of hard work and labor that they put into that. And a lot of people think that, if I put it out there, then it's automatically going to come. No, man, you've got to go and work for it. You got to promote. You got to talk. You've got to guerrilla market. You've got to be out there. I mean, I do anywhere from 3 to 5 to 6, sometimes more interviews in a week, and with people all over the world. I mean, last week I did, back to back. I did a Germany, then I did a UK, and, right. it's it's being in people's faces all the time, you know, whether you're in the mood or not.
You say yes to everything. And I think the biggest part too, man, is just be consistent with your product. If you're going to do a podcast weekly, whatever you're doing, if you're going to do it, you have to do it. You can't stop. There's no breaks. You have to always do it.
Right. Well, which is a big thing. A lot of people don't know how to commit, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, some people have really good products.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Some people have really, really good product, but they don't commit, or, you know, they get frustrated and they look at numbers. And let me tell you something. Don't ever look at your freaking numbers. First of all, you know that once you look at your numbers and care about your numbers, you've already lost.
It's kind of a mess now, too, because even you can have like a chartable and pay for it and get numbers from that. But
they're not real.
They're not real. Everybody, I tell this to Jeff and Dan, everything is reported differently, right? So Apple reports this many times a week or this many times an hour or this many times. And Podbean reports once every fucking, you know, 3 days. Then you have, you know, GeoSavin, which is like the biggest podcast app in India. And they report once a day. There's no way to tell for sure. You can get a rough idea. That's really about it.
It's, you know, don't listen. If you're going to create, bro, create for yourself. That's it. Fuck everybody else. There's no reason to sit and create for anyone else. You're creating for yourself, and your people will find you. End of story. You know what I mean?
Is that in your book, man? Is that a Brimism? Because that was fucking awesome. Jeff, did you hear that? He just said, if you're going to create for yourself. That was awesome.
Yeah, no. Exactly right. It will be somewhere, but it's not a Brimism. But what do you call it? You know, and now I'm trying to replicate the same thing I'm doing. I don't know if you guys even heard it yet. The Dirty Little Secrets Club. Yeah. We just hit a little over a year. And, you know, that with my co-host Dana Pereira, she's fantastic. I got to give her credit where credit's due. She does 90% of the work on that. And what do you call it? I kind of come in and just, you know, do my job. And, you know, we have a great time.
Yeah.
And that's that, man. And she's fantastic. What do you call it? We work really well off each other. And that happened it was a happy accident. You know, so you never know what's going to happen and who you bump into, who you work with. She interviewed me on one of her other shows. And you know, we just hit it off. And she was having an issue with one of with the person she was doing the show that I was interviewed on. She had a problem with that co-host. Wow. And we were sitting and yapping about it. She wanted some advice. I gave her some advice and we were just talking. And I was like, hell, I'd do a show with you. She's like, that would be amazing. I was like, well, let's talk. And you know, she had this IP and DLSC was born. I mean, and that show's doing well. I mean, we're ranking all over the country all around the world. We've been ranking in Romania, which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I know. That shit's weird when it happens in weird countries like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It happens to us here, too. Like, we'll be giant in Spain for a month. What?
I mean,
and then we're like, we credit to Jeffy speaking his Spanglish on the show once or twice, which is terrible.
You never know what'll happen.
But what about starting a network then, man? Listen, you've got these different shows. You got so much stuff going on. Let's make the Brimstone Network.
Well, so I have the plan, the grand scheme was to put together the Grindhouse Network. Everything's in place for it. The problem is it's going to take a lot to put that together and to have that run because that's a 24/7 type of a deal. And I don't have the manpower, especially after COVID where we had to let a lot of people go and so forth. It's not the right time for it. Will it possibly be sometime in the near future? Maybe, we don't know, but at least we have everything ready to go. And, you know, the GHR network is a possibility. So that was the, eventual plan. You know what I mean? So
dude,
we'll see what happens. Dan, it's all set up for it.
There's so many things to talk about with Brim, but I want to make sure to get enough plugs in there for him. Dan, get him in there before I start going into wrestling.
Yes. First and foremost, therealbrimstone.com. Check out the website. Everything's on there you need. Beautiful website. Go to IG, The Real Brimstone. Twitter, Entrance to Hell. I love that name. Grindhouse Radio. Check them out wherever you listen to podcasts.
There it is, man. Seriously, Brim, we appreciate you taking the time to come on here, man. I mean, you've got my wheels are turning so much. The hamster wheel's catching on fire spinning in my head right now. I know what's happening to Jeff, too. brother... I got to bring up wrestling because you were a pro wrestler. You've done a lot, actually, as a pro wrestler. I was, too. I was not nearly as successful as you were. I went because it was a six or nine-month stint of my life. I love pro wrestling. I wanted to go try it. And, you know, my father died when I was young. My connection to my dad that I remember was sitting in his lap watching AWA at 6:05 Eastern, you know.
Wow.
Back, yeah, very, very young, watching Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, you know, watching the. So I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. And, you know, he's smoking a Newport in one hand. I'm sitting in his lap. He's holding me with the other one. He's trying to explain to me how a figure four works. You know, it was awesome. So it made me want to go to pro wrestling school and learn it and understand it. And, you know, I've always loved it. I always say life is fucking pro wrestling. It really, God, it's so pro wrestling. I mean, just watch the guy from fucking Ukraine cut a promo and then fucking Putin cuts a promo. And it's fucking pro wrestling, man.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna make a heel turn here soon or something will happen. But you spent a long time of your life doing this, man. And you've worked in WWE a little bit. You've done some TNA. I mean, listen, we're friends. We've had Diamond Dallas Page is a friend of ours. He's on here. Justin Credible. I think he's still alive.
Yeah. He's a good cat, PJ.
I don't know if I say good, but, you know, he's a buddy of mine. I haven't texted him in a year. I probably should, but I feel like every time I text him, he's like, bro, can I have a job? So.
Was that harsh?
Nope, I'm sorry.
No comment. I don't know him like that. So.
Yeah. He was a good dude. Last time he was on the show, he was a fucking train wreck, and it was not good. He was all Jeff. You remember he was?
Yeah.
A lot of vitamins.
Yeah. Well, listen. He's a great guy.
Yeah. I have no issues with him. I always thought he was a.
He's cool. A great guy. He's a legend of a wrestler.
He is.
I remember seeing him.
He is. But Brim, for you, absolutely. How old were you when you started wrestling?
Comes with some baggage sometimes.
Yeah, well, we all do. we all do, that's for sure.
I started, you know, like the end of 96, what do you call it? You know, and like into 99 was like when things really started happening. And I can't even remember off the top of my head. This was so long ago. It's like another life, you know, when it's been so long since I've been in the ring, probably about almost 10 years now. Since I've actually stepped in a ring, which is insane. But, you know, I did.
Could you still go? Could you still bump?
I could still bump and all that, I'm sure. But, you know, my knee is not feeling so great right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the thing is, you know, I had a little flash in the pan with WWE when it was still WWF. It was a flash in the pan. I'm not a superstar. I never said I was. People seem to, you know, put words in my mouth a lot. But, you know, that's why. People throw out, which is, I know you guys meant well and so sweet of you to put legend on. I'm not a legend. I'm, you know, like, but people put that out there. And I don't want anybody to think that I have that kind of an ego because I try to be very humble. That's not me.
Let me pause you real quick. Legend, sure. Of a human being is what I said.
Thank you.
And that is absolutely the truth, man, because you're a really fucking nice guy and you've done a lot of good for a lot of people. And that, in our book, makes you
absolutely.
A legend. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. But
as people, a wrestler, people, you were drizzling shits. You were awful.
I was awful. I was the worst.
But the worst. You know, I'm just kidding.
But you know what? Here it is. It's like, you know, like I did. I was supposed to sign out in San Antonio, Texas. It was wound up getting canceled from COVID. But they went and they put it out and promoted like I was this freaking superstar that won like, you know, WWE titles the last 10 years. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that's not me. And I never claimed that. But I am, and I will say I am the godfather of pro wrestling here in the tri-state area, because if you were not trained by me, you came through one of my schools, or I worked with you, or I worked with your school. But I've been involved with so many different schools. I mean, I'm the guy who created NYWC, what do you call it, even though my ex-partner and I, you know, had a big issue, and who I brought in, by the way. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all those details. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the one that created Critical Mass Pro Wrestling, NYWC. And then I went over to PWR, Pro Wrestling Revolution, which one of my students had opened up. And I trained people over there. I trained people at, what do you call it? Oh, my God, I can't believe I blanked out on the name. But it was another one that was here on the island. I think they're still going.
Creative Pro?
FTW. No. Creative Pro I have nothing to do with, except for that Pat Buck, who is mm-hmm. one of the owners of Creative Pro, was one of my students. So I trained Pat.
Simon Diamond, right? In ECW?
I don't know Simon. I don't know Simon personally.
No, I think that's Pat Buck, wasn't it? Wasn't Pat Simon?
No. Completely different person. He was Precious Pat Buck. He was Roostar. And then he went to WWE and he worked in the back. Mm-hmm. Huge congratulations to him. I think he did a fantastic, tremendous job. You know, Mikey Mondo, what do you call it, who was in the Spirit Squad. He was one of mine. You know, he came for me. Dickie Rods, a whole bunch of people that you know, are from this area. You know, Pat Kenny,
by the way, was Simon Diamond, not Pat Buck. Sorry, Pat Kenny.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I did meet him before. I just don't know where, and I think it was for like a hot minute. But, you know, I had done so much work with a lot of places and a lot of people that, you know, I was actually I received an award from the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And, awesome. You know, it was an unbelievable moment. And unfortunately, when you're doing things and you're successful and you're putting your best foot forward, there are a lot of people who don't like that. And I mean, I'll tell you how many fucks I give about anybody who doesn't like me, whatever it is, what it is. I don't care. But at the end of the day, you know, there are a lot of people that are out there that, you know, they try to come down on you and talk smack and, you know, start rumors and crap like that. And, you know, it really sucks because so many people, especially nowadays in the world of the internet, you know, nobody bothers to look things up anymore or read or check things out or make sure, you know, like that, you know, what they read is proper or not or improper. And, you know, I've worked my ass off. I busted my ass. I went to the School of Freaking Hard Knocks, Long Island Wrestling Federation, the doghouse, man. What do you call it? I trained with Low-Key and Homicide and what do you call it? You know, those were my trainers, man. You know,
those
like
boys are stiff, aren't they?
Of course, you know, but that's why I'm stiff, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, you train hard, you play hard, you know, and you work hard. And that's why, you know, the guys who are out there doing things and you know their names because they were successful. They instead of sitting and talking shit about other people, they went out and, you know, made things happen. So, yeah, you know what? You want to call me a mark for myself? Sure. No problem. You're more. That. You're a moron though, because I'm going to let you in on a little secret that I don't say often, but did you know that, what do you call it? The Brimstone name. Everybody thinks I take myself so seriously. The Brimstone name was a joke. Brimstone is the you know, guardian of the gates of hell. Yeah. I'm Jewish. Jews don't believe in hell.
There's no hell in your world.
You see what I'm saying?
That's hysterical. Hey, so I just want to throw out some words to the boys so they understand what we're talking about. You know, because Jeff and Dan aren't really wrestling fans, but so working stiff means like you make your shit, you lay it in pretty good, so it looks really good. You know, so Brim's gonna hit me. He's not trying to hurt me, but he's gonna make contact when he punches me. So you're just kind of aware that's going to happen, and you know that's how it works. Catch me if I'm wrong, Brim, but you know
you work tight. You know I'm not stiff. I work tight.
Yeah,
you know, like
I play my shit in there pretty good.
You know, what do you call it? There's a difference between stiff and tight. Stiff is you're really laying it in there and you're making it look real because it is quasi real.
Yeah.
You know, tight is you're laying it in there and you're feeling, you're going to feel it.
Stop saying that. You sound so sexy. Just laying it in there. Just keep laying it in there. Yeah. Hey, just lay it in there for me.
Brim, I know the boy's got a couple of questions for you, and I'm fucking running my mouth to you the whole time here. I just want to hang out with you and have a beer and bullshit for 2 hours.
I got time, man. I got time.
One of the biggest names you ever worked with, who was it? And I know you did some work with Superstars on WWE. Who'd you work with there?
I didn't work with anybody at WWE. That's the thing. I did. Really? I did very minimal with WWE. It was still WWF, and I did WWF Superstars.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it was a spinoff from a thing I did on MTV. I didn't take the deal. I wasn't there.
I thought you had a dark match or something, didn't you, or no?
Yeah, but it was against nobody. It wasn't against anybody special.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, who was the biggest name you worked with?
Oh, my God. I mean, I tagged with Doink. I've worked
Doink
with so many.
Oh, there was Doink. I saw the picture.
Yeah, Earthquake. What do you call it? Earthquake was a fantastic friend of mine. Oh, my God. It's Jesus Christ. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on. I worked with Glenn when he was still Glenn Jacobs and not Kane, when he was Isaac Yankum.
By the way, Jeffy, Isaac Yankum, DDS, he was a dentist. That was his gimmick.
Yeah, that was way back. Yo,
I love that name.
I mean, you know, another person that was very close with me, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, of course. Oh, you know, man. I worked with Jimmy.
What?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, you know, it was towards the end of his, you know, career. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, but he was great. Brutus Beefcake, Heidenreich, what do you call it? Yeah, Heidenreich is great. He's sweetheart. And he's soft in the ring too. For such a big dude. What do you call it? I mean, the list goes on. I mean, you know,
that's
it's
great, man.
It was a lot of fun. I loved my career. I loved my time there. I wasn't like the best worker in the world, but I could work. You know what I'm saying? I was a gimmick guy and I could work and I enjoyed it. And that's what gave me my name. If it wasn't for pro wrestling, I wouldn't have the name Brimstone. It wouldn't be here. And it was funny because I was out in, I want to say Victoria, Texas, and I was with.
Hold on.
What? But,
Victoria, what Texas, happened? Where Steve Austin's from. What?
What?
I was out in Texas, and I was with Kevin Nash, and we were signing at an event, and we were sitting and literally we were just drinking at the bar, and I'm not a big drinker, and we closed out the one bar at the hotel, and then we went to another spot afterwards, and the two of us were sitting there. It was him, myself, and Tony Vella, who is he owns WrestlingTradingCards.com,
okay,
and he's also a he also does agent work for like Kevin and for Angle and a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And Tony, who's fantastic, you know, we were sitting and talking, and Tony had filled Kevin in on certain things that I did and so forth. And Kevin had already been, you know, a couple drinks in, and he turns to me, goes, "You should just stop talking. You should just forget that you ever did wrestling. Just stop talking. Just stop saying you were a wrestler." He's like, "Because you do so many other things and you're successful with that. He goes, "That, you know, saying, letting people know that you wrestled is just going to hold you back." He's like, it's just like, you know, because people have a stigma about wrestlers that, you know, that they're just big dumb animals and shit like that. And it kind of took me back for a second. I was like, yeah, but, you know, I'm humbled to have come from that world. You know what I mean? And I don't forget where I came from, and I don't forget the people that helped get me where I am. And that was it, man. And and he's like, "Sounds good to me." We went back to drinking. I tapped out probably about like 5-6 a.m. And he was
legendary
still
drinker, by the way, Kevin Nash. Loves his red wine. Bro, life is fucking awesome, isn't it? Life is fucking awesome. And just you really seem to embrace that, dude. I love that about you. It's just, it's awesome. Like, fucking do it all. DIY, make the shit happen. Live your life. Eat chicken wings. Swing steel chairs. Do spears. Talk on the radio. Do voiceovers for video games. There's so much more. Write comic books. It's fucking incredible. Brim, I know the boys got a couple of questions. You got a few more minutes?
Sure, I got time.
Yeah, Jeffy, you got Brim here. Get him.
Yeah, man. Well, there's a couple things I wanted to know about. I mean, one, I was looking through the bio, and
what chapter you worked did you stop
with at? You. Well, you worked with Norman Reedus, and you're the commander of the zombie survival crew. What the fuck is that? How did that work? I mean,
so it's not. None of us worked with each other. We were all just. It's a bunch of friends. Like, I know Reedus, I know Rooker. And we've known each other for quite some time now, and. Funny because Reedus and I met in Ohio. We were signing for Wizard World, and we were kind of pushed together by a couple of people, and that's how we originally met, and then we stayed in touch from there. But his agent, but Rooker's agent. You know who Michael Rooker is.
Uh-huh.
So Rooker's agent.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Walking Dead.
Yeah. So Juliet is his agent, and Juliet and I are very tight, and Juliet runs this whole thing, this zombie survival squad, and they asked me if I would be a part of it. I was like, yeah, absolutely, man. And so now I get to be part of that fun squad, which does absolutely nothing but look cool and sound cool. And that's, you know, and that's it. I mean, what do you call it? I love them to death, all of them. Juliet's the best. I wish that she was my agent, but like, I'm not as high on the totem pole for her, but, you know, like, she would take me, but but I'm not high enough on the totem pole. I would never get any work because there's I don't need to be a bottom feeder. It's better. Hey, I just texted
you, Brim. I was at Norman and Diane's house, I think about a year and a half ago. I just texted you the picture. I was over there. So you
see, nice.
Good people. I was always surprised how Norman's not a tall guy.
No, he's the sweetest dude, too.
Awesome.
The sweetest dude. What'd you do over there? Did you make them dinner?
Yeah. We were hanging out doing dinner for them. They were great.
That's fantastic. He's a good dude. He's a real good dude. And it sucks because somewhere along the line he changed numbers because he had multiple phones. I think he changed numbers, and I haven't seen him at a con. So I haven't bothered. I'm not going to sit and say, "Hey, somebody else give me the number." I'll wait until I see him and I'll get it from him again.
Yeah, of course.
But what do you call it? It sucks because I love the guy to death. It was funny because every time I'd be out and I'd see anything, I'm like, can't I stop seeing you? All I do is see you. Like anywhere I go, I'm seeing your face. I see, turn around, there's a tattoo of him. I take a picture here, go send it to him. And, so that was a good portion of the relationship because we never get to see each other unless we're on the same tour trail. And just such a great dude. Rooker, I see a lot more often, but of course, during COVID, it just has not been lucrative for any friendships. Haven't been able to see anybody. It's just a sad, sad thing. Matter of fact, I went out and I got to see my buddy Marty Grabstein. He does the voice for Courage the Cowardly Dog, and we went out and did a road trip. Out to Jersey just to have some fun. We went out to Jersey, went out to Secret Stash to see my buddy Mike Zapsik. He was on Comic Book Men with Kevin and all that. Yeah, and So we went out, we had a good time. We hung out there, and that was like the first time I got to see some of my, friends from the road, out and not in my house. It was just great. What do you call it? So
very cool.
It is what it is. Hope I answered your question.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. It's just very cool. Very cool fucking just to be able to do that shit.
Yeah, it's fun, man. Listen, one of the coolest things about doing these conventions is that you get to meet and all worlds kind of collide there. All worlds kind of are mixed and matched, and you never know who you're going to wind up bumping into and becoming good friends with. I mean, I've been blessed to have become friends with a lot of really, really good people from sitting and doing the Comic-Con circuit. And, and thankful for that, that helped me with Grindhouse, to be completely honest, because the first person to give me, the plugs and everything was Stan Lee. You know what I mean?
So cool,
first one, him, Nichelle Nichols, people like that. And I was just like, oh man. So yeah, it's a really cool thing. And the other thing is like with you guys getting to do the foodie things and meeting all the foodie people. And you never know what you're going to do and never know who you're going to meet and never who you know you're going to mesh with,
Well, you definitely made some new friends here. That's for sure, man. We look forward to you more and more. You're the man, dude. I can't wait to hang out with you more. Dan, what you got for Brim?
Yo, let y'all know, my man, he got the Brimstone Starbucks secret menu item. You ain't talk about that. That's fucking dope.
Yeah, man. What do you call it? That was a lot of fun. I would think that you'd want to. I'm actually mad at Starbucks right now. But what do you call it? That's another whole story. But yeah. What do you call it? I'm surprised you didn't ask about the Brimstone Red. That one's.
Oh, fuck cool, the Jack cool, Daniels.
That dude, one's a cooler story than the Starbucks one. The Starbucks one is just pretty much I'm on the secret menu. The one of the baristas from Portland, Oregon had made me a drink, and they brought it to me at the convention while I was out there. And then I went down to the place and they, they gave me the recipe and they told me it was on the secret menu. I was like, okay, awesome. So I have it, and now it's on my site too. So anybody who wants it, they can order it. They just need the recipe, which is right on my site if you can't find it elsewhere. The Brimstone Red. Now that's the fun story. I was doing a release party for one of the comic books out in Manhattan, and it was going to be a big deal, and I forgot what was going on, but it was myself, Bumblefoot. We were doing some stuff with the Sauces also. My buddy Jose Hernandez Jr. Was coming out. He's from like Oz and Law and Order and stuff. You probably know him. You do stuff in Manhattan. You've probably seen him. And then what do you call it? They knew that we were going to be there, and we were doing this place called Chelsea Manor. And earlier in the day, the people from the Jack Daniel's distillery were there with the, you know, with Jack Daniel's honey and so forth. And they would, I forgot why they were there, or there was some, I don't know if they were bringing them product and talking about it. And there was something going on with Jack Daniel's and the location, but it was the people direct from the distillery. And they found out that they were going to have, you know, red carpet there that night. And it was going to be myself and Ron Bumble and what do you call it? They wound up putting together drinks for us. So they made the Brimstone Red, which is Jack Honey, ginger ale, cranberry, and grenadine. And and then they did the Bumble shot. And I don't remember what was in that, but it was like a shot with the Jack Honey for
That's
Bumble.
Awesome. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it was
That's
really, really cool.
Awesome. All right, Brim, and, this is on the down low. All right, no one knows this yet. We can't tell anybody this. Uh-oh. There is a significantly good chance that we're going to be doing a whole thing at WrestleMania next year in L.A. You got to come with
really?
Us.
Really?
Yeah, you got to come with us with our friends at Sam Adams.
That's very interesting. What are you going to do with them? It's not on the download anymore because you just announced it.
I know. I'm a dumbass. But we're talking about doing this whole tailgate thing with them outside because it's out of the – Reliance Stadium? I don't know what the fucking stadium's called. But it's outside there. Do this whole tailgate for 3 hours and – broadcast it and have wrestlers and dude, you gotta come.
If my schedule permits, I'm happy to come do it.
You gotta come hang out. We'll cover your travel. We'll make it all work. It'll be awesome.
Sounds like a good time, man. Definitely sounds like a good time. That's that, when is
March. 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 No, April. April. We're a year away still, but
yeah, I have not watched wrestling in so long. Every once in a while, it's really funny because every once in a while, like I'll get a call where friends of mine are either doing something on AEW or on TNA or WWE. And they're like, hey, will you watch? And I'm like, oh, all right, fine.
Dude, Long Island Golden Boy, MJF is killing it right now. And then fucking Cody Rhodes is top of the mountain in WWE right now. He's fucking killing it.
Is he? You know, I heard he's doing fantastic. And
killing it.
You know, he's great, man. Yeah. Dustin is fantastic also. I mean, he is just... Gold Dustin guy. Is an amaze. He's a ring general, that guy.
No doubt.
What do you call it? Fantastic dude. I wish I would have had the opportunity to work with him. He's just such a ring general that it would have been so much fun to just get in there and make something happen.
Well, listen, at the Hot Sauce Expo this year, you gotta be there. We talked a little bit about it at the Wing Fest. You gotta get my back, buddy. They're gonna kill me I'm gonna be counting the lights and they're gonna beat the shit out of me. I need you to make the save.
Well, that's up to Seabury, man. And you're not supposed to let people know what's happening.
It's not happening yet.
But it doesn't make a difference. You can't tell the story before
remember.
The story's told.
They don't remember. They're chefs. They don't remember what happened yesterday.
It's supposed to be a surprise. Can't let people know ahead of time.
They won't know.
What's wrong with you?
All right. You're right.
Hold
you're right.
on.
Dan, yes, Jeffy.
Stop ruining everything.
I'm sorry.
Right? Like, he
can't hold it in.
He can't hold it in. he's been giving away all the goods. Like, come on now.
Listen,
all
I the hid, goods. I hid $10 million under a tree. I want to tell you where it's at.
We're going to go to WrestleMania, and then we're going to go and do this thing over at the Hot Sauce Festival, and it's going to be awesome, and I'm getting jumped, but you're going to come do the save. You just gave
you
them
the
safe. Whole storyline for the next year.
That's
there you go.
You gave it all away. Did I or did I not? We'll see. Who knows? You don't know. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it's a whole different situation. Maybe it's a cage match between me and Brim. You never know.
And Jeff are going to be my partners, and we're going to come in and stomp your ass.
Well, let me tell you something right now. Jeff would be the best partner in the ring for 18 seconds. He'd be amazing for the 18 seconds, and then he's going to be winning.
I'm good for 18 seconds. That's true.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Dan, I know you got one more for Brim before
I lay
him out of here.
Tight. I'm stiff and tight.
What's it called when you turn on your friend?
Seconds.
When a tag team partner turns on their friend, what's that called?
Fucking turn.
Turning. You're turning. You're making a heel turn.
Doing a heel turn.
A heel turn. Yeah. So that's what me and Jeff would do. We'd be in Plum's corner, and then they'd be going at it, and then Jeff hits him with the chair. I come through with like a sheet pan. We just jump.
Then we spend 2 weeks and you fucking guys on. You guys leave me here by myself on the podcast, and you guys are on Grindhouse Radio hanging out.
doing the culinary presentations. Really, like,
Jesus.
Talking food.
Brim, you're awesome, man. I'd love to have you back on, man. I feel like there's so much more stuff we haven't even covered yet. We haven't talked of comics yet. It's just crazy. Dan, what you got for him? Let's get Brim out of here.
One real quick one. So from everything I've seen, you've kind of had this dark persona throughout your career. And, you know, the Brimstone and the Entrance to Hell. what is some of the things that you've had to like overcome with that persona? Like, have people judged you for that, or have there been things that you've kind of felt like you wanted to change because of it? Or, and what have you stuck to and been like, fuck what you think, I'm gonna be this guy always?
See, you well, had like a whole journalistic questionnaire until you dropped the fuck in there. Like, that was a good question until you like,
that's how I wrote them.
It was a good,
it's a very good question. Yeah. And not many people actually asked that, which is fantastic that you came up with it. So thank you for that. The you know, the thing with the name. You know, I wanted something that was going to be memorable, marketable. And when I was getting into wrestling, you know, I didn't want to be the guy that was going to take his ass kicking. You know what I mean? I wanted to go out there and kick the ass. So the Brimstone name was a strong name. The fact is that, yeah, it is a darker name. And what do you call it? A lot of people, they look at it and they get scared. You know what I mean? Or they don't understand it. Or they, you know, some people think it's my real name, which is really fun. Wait, that's your real name? Well, no, it's not my real name. It's not my given name, but it is my SAG-AFTRA name. But what do you call it? You know, like at the end of the day, you know, like I've had to overcome a lot of people not giving me an opportunity and judging me and based on my appearance, not even necessarily the name, but my appearance, you know, the long hair, the big beard or goatee, pending my earrings, what do you call it, my big skull rings, you know, like some people will judge you based on the appearance, which really sucks in, you know, the fact that we haven't gotten past that yet. You know, which is one of the reasons why I'm not happy with Starbucks right now, is because there is a black gentleman who is actually in Connecticut. I don't know if you've heard the
Westport
story.
Tell the story.
So this guy, what he calls the black guy, has was one of the supervisors in the store, and there was a woman who continuously came in and harassed him, called him the N-bomb, you know, screamed it out to other customers and said, hey, do you like being served by this N-word and blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, just treated him like garbage and harassed. He put in countless requests to have her not be able to come into the store anymore, to not serve her. You know, he put in, you know, requests with the district manager, with the general manager. The general manager, I think it was, I could be wrong, but one of them was like, well, maybe you're being just a little too sensitive. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me? So he wound up just having enough of it after 6 or 8 months. I don't remember the exact number, but it's between 6 and 8 months. He wound up deciding he was going to quit. And he quit. And then after that, I believe that the people that worked with him decided that they were going to not serve that woman, whether they liked it or not. And then after that, that's when Starbucks finally decided to ban the woman and do something about it. And what do you call it? So he was already gone. He already quit. So now he's suing Starbucks.
Brim, I was about to say before, I mean, the boys are seething. I feel like I'm about to jump to, like, before we all get mad, let's all just remember here for a second. This man went through hell, and no one should have to go through that, but he is about to get paid.
Yeah, possibly. But they're trying to do some seedy stuff. You know, I've got some inside info that I can't talk about. But yeah, so he's what do you call it? He's in court with them, or he's waiting for the court date or whatever the deal is. I already told him, I contacted him. I actually put it out to a lot of my friends of color, you know, like DMC and Walter Jones from Power Rangers and what do you call it? Jason Moore from Punisher and just a bunch of my friends of color, you know, who I know will take it and kind of, you know, have my back if I want to do something bigger on it. And
this is crazy, you know, that we still live in a world where that's even a thing.
Like, it's disgusting, man. What? I grew up in Uniondale, New York. I was one of the only white kids in an all black neighborhood. So I grew up and I saw all the shit that happened to people and the unfairness and the you know, the racism. And, you know, I would go and even on the road when I was working, my partner, what do you call it, my tag partner, Mike Mayhem, is Dominican. And, you know, we'd go and I can't tell you how many things happen on the road. You know, we'd be in the middle of like bum heck freaking North Carolina and, you know, things gone down. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to talk about some of those things because some of them might still be looking for us. But, you know, that being said, you know, it's
it's a really sad thing that racism is still such a disgusting, evil thing. The guy who was out, and not to bring down the show, but the guy who went out to a black area in, what do you call it, in Buffalo to shoot and kill a whole bunch of black people. It's disgusting, man. So, you know, I saw this and I was like, you know what, I got to get behind it. And I reached out to the guy, so we're in contact. And, you know, when it is safe to talk about it, I'll probably bring him on GHR. Although I normally don't do things like that, I figured it's a good story. I'm going to do something with it. So,
however we can help, whether it's social media, you know, to post something, whatever you need, man. You need if we can help at all, please reach out.
Very appreciated. Very appreciated.
And but I in Connecticut, I can ring bells. So,
yeah. Well, Connecticut is where it's taking place, and
just crazy. You know,
yeah, but I'm thinking I want to maybe do something over at that Starbucks. I think I might want to walk in and cause a little bit of an issue. But again, I don't know.
What good is that going to? I'm just being serious. Like, well, the people are defending him. You know?
No. Because the general manager and the district manager still work there. They're still working there. They haven't lost their jobs, and they're the ones that let this thing happen.
The general manager you might catch if you can catch him there. The district manager's not going to be there, though. He's, you know how maybe. That works. Those guys have like 9-10 stores they work at.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, if I was thinking about going in there, filming something and putting that on social, but I don't know. Maybe not.
Holler at your boys if you need help, because
I appreciate it.
We can do some shit here in Connecticut, that's for sure. I can definitely put you in touch with people here who can make it very loud.
I appreciate it. Yeah. It's definitely something that should be done whether I'm a part of it or not. So I might have to get you in touch with this guy. Yeah. But that's you know, to get off that and back to Dan's question is, yes, you know, I had to deal with a lot of people who literally judged a book by its cover. And it's funny because there are some people that I had reached out to that I had interest in doing something, you know, with them or on their shows. And, and it came back to me, you know, that, you know, oh, sorry, you know, we're going to pass. Right. And then I went back and I'm not, I have PR and I have a publicist, but I also do a lot of my own stuff. Mm. And I went in and I said, well, you know, I read your description of what you're looking for, because it was a business podcast or business radio show, whatever it was. And I said, and I fit your description more than what your description is. I'm too qualified for your just as per your description. And, I said, you know, maybe you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. And here's the reason why, and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of gave a little bit of information. And, they actually got back to me. This is one instance of a million. But they got back to me and they actually apologized and said, we're so sorry. You know, we did judge the book by its cover, and wow, we're so sorry. And we apologize. And we did the show. I went on. We did the show. And they actually said it on air. They apologized to me on air, and they said that they were wrong, and that I changed their view on everything. They loved the way I spoke. They said I was eloquent and yada, yada, yada. And so it was a good experience all around, and I changed some minds. And that's what it's all about, right? It's about influencing people, you know, making things better and leaving the world a little bit better than when you came into it. And that's where I'm at right now, is I try to be a good person. I try to give back. I try to do as much good as possibly. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, it's not good enough, you know, but you try.
Unfucking believable. Dude, you are the man. Brim, we can't thank you enough for hanging out with us tonight for an hour, man. Seriously, it was awesome. Dan, plug that guy one more time before we get him out of here. This man spent an hour and 17 minutes with us.
The Real Brimstone.
There it is.
Check him out. TheRealBrimstone.com, The Real Brimstone on IG, and The Entrance to Hell on Twitter. Grindhouse Radio, everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Dude, Brim, you are the man. We can't thank you enough, my friend. So Woo! Inspiring to hear your stories, and just
hell yeah,
we can't wait. We look forward to building a friendship, man. You're awesome, and we got nothing but respect. And you are a legend of a human being. Don't fucking ever think you're not. We appreciate you so much.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, people throw the word around, and what no matter how they mean, I said to my wife, I'm like, you know, when people say something like that, it wasn't with you guys, but with other people, it's like, when people say that or write that about me, I'm like, I just, I feel stupid. It's like, why? That's I'm just a
dude,
regular
you're
guy.
You're a former Intercontinental Champion. You're a former World Heavyweight Champion. Like you.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the real Brimstone. Thank you, Brim. We appreciate you. There he is. Man, holy shit. I could talk to Brim all fucking night. That guy is awesome.
Dude, he's the man. He's the man. He's dropping some real jewels, too. I mean, you guys listen up. Go back, listen again.
Oh, my God. Literally, that guy's awesome. Dan, I know that you have a crush on him. What a great human.
Yo, fantastic dude. We didn't even talk about all the sponsorships he does for different organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Tons
for of
fucking kids. Great.
Yeah.
And, yo, it's so
charity,
awesome.
Charity
like,
work.
Charity work. It's so great.
Yeah, man. He's awesome. We got to hopefully get him in here for a part two. Brim is the man. We appreciate him so much for coming on and telling his stories. And if you're looking for a story from a human being who is, you know, the living embodiment of DIY, check out Brim, man, because he's done it all, and he's awesome, and he's made some really cool shit happen, and this guy fucking lives life like you should, man. I got so much respect for that. It's what a good human. That's awesome. Big dude, though. I don't want him to hit me with a chair. That's a terrible idea.
No, hell no.
Nah. Nah.
Hell no.
I don't know. I think of all of us, you want him to hit you with the chair because he's the trained professional. I'm going to straight up fucking knock you out.
Good to know.
No one said you're hitting me either. What the fuck?
Dan likes to lay it in.
Like, it was like, you know, I'm aggressive.
He lays it in real stiff. He likes to just really stiffen and lay it.
Oh, Jesus, Dan.
Hello, this is Jose Heineken.
Hi, mom.
Hey. Check it out. We appreciate you guys joining us right here on Plum Love Foods Live. We're going to be back next week with another fantastic live program. We're excited to hang out with you guys.
Fantastic.
It's going to be awesome. Shout out to the real Brimstone for joining us here on the program. We love that guy. He's fantastic. Make sure you join us next week. We can't wait to talk to you, hang out with you, talk shit with you, and of course, drop that real knowledge from experts, because all experts have microphones, and all microphones make you an expert. Don't ever forget that. It's super important. Ladies and gentlemen, for Chef Jeff, for Chef Dan, my name is Chef Plum. Remember, food is the most important thing that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Shout out to Brim. And don't forget, the dive bar starts in 10 minutes on Instagram Live. We'll see you guys there. Peace.
Is the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.